day in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a young woman that tells of a time when her dad went on a three-week vacation to London. And he called her one evening just to check up on her and see if everything was okay. And the phone call signal wasn't good, rather crackly. And for the life of her, she says, she didn't recognise his voice. She heard a person say something like, "Hey, hun, all is well." And she responded positively to that, but she had no clue as to who she was talking to. And her grandmother, who was with her, she was staying with at the time, saw the puzzled look on her face and asked, "What's wrong?" And the girl explained, "Well, someone just called up checking up on me, but I have no clue who." And the grandmother asked her, "Well, was it a male?" "Yes." Then her grandmother asked her, "What's the person's exact words?" And then her grandmother said, "That was your father. Don't you recognise your own father's voice, even if there's static on the line?" Well, I suspect all of us have been stumped at some time or another when someone has called us and didn't identify themselves. You sit there trying to work out, who am I talking to? Well, you know, that happened to a young boy named Samuel. It wasn't a phone call with a static on the line. He simply heard a voice in the night. And he was living at that time in the temple of Shiloh. And the hour was late. The writer of the book of 1 Samuel reports that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And that phrase could actually mean one or two things. It might simply mean that it happened late at night. The only light in the temple was a candle hanging high in the temple ceiling, and it was still burning. But it was obviously near the point where it soon burned out. On the other hand, this phrase could be symbolic, meaning Eli the high priest was at advanced age. He was nearly blind. His sons, who were in line to take over his place, were now in charge of the temple, and they abused their roles as priests. They were moral misfits who had no business taking over the temple duties. So the writer may have been saying that even though the worship of God at Shiloh was not what it should be, God still dwelled there. He hadn't removed his presence. His light still shone, even though dimly. Whatever this phrase means, Samuel heard a voice, the voice of the Lord. And you'll recall that Samuel was in the temple because of a promise of his mother, Hannah. His mother was one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. And it's a situation that seemed to occur a lot in the Old Testament. The other wife's name was Penaniah, and she had no trouble falling pregnant and having children, but Hannah couldn't seem to get pregnant no matter what. And Penaniah taunted Hannah unmercifully about this, and Hannah would weep and pray passionately that God would give her a child. Her husband Elkanah would try to reassure her. He would say, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downcast? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" And his reassurances, however, fell on deaf ears. And one day Hannah was at the temple in Shiloh. She was on her knees praying fervently for this child. It was then that she made a promise to God. "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." I wonder how many people have made a promise to God. "God, if only you'll do this, I'll do that for you." Well, Hannah made one of those and she kept it. "Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you." She was moving her lips without making a sound as she prayed. And the high priest Eli, watching her pray so passionately, moving lips and no sound, thought that she must be drunk. And he said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. And Hannah replied, not so, my Lord. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Don't take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying out here of my great anguish and grief. And Eli's answer to her was, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And so she left. She said, may your servant find favour in your eyes. And then the writer says she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. And the Lord did give Hannah the desire of her heart, and she named him Samuel, which meant, I begged from the Lord. And after Samuel had been weaned, Samuel was put in the care of the elderly priest Eli at the temple of Shiloh to fulfill that promise that she had made to the Lord. What a commitment to give her only son, because that's what she said she would do. And this passage we have today comes some years later. Samuel was about 11 or 12 and is lying in his bed in the house of the Lord late at night when he hears a voice calling to him. And Samuel assumed that the voice belonged to Eli. And you can imagine that Eli, being almost blind, would call on Samuel quite often to get things for him, to assist him as he grew older and weaker. So Samuel ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lie down. So he went back and lay down. And again, the voice, Samuel. You know, if that was one of us, we'd probably either get a little upset or a little bit frightened, because we really don't like being bothered while we're trying to sleep. But Samuel simply got up, went to Eli again and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I didn't call you, go back and lie down. And then the writer explains a key component of this story. He says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, isn't that interesting? The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So how could Samuel not know God? He lived in God's house. You know, it probably doesn't mean what it sounds like, that Samuel was a little slow on the uptake or that Eli was a poor teacher. It probably means that Samuel had never had an encounter with God and doesn't have the ability to understand what's going on. So a third time the voice calls Samuel. Samuel again went up, got up, went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And then Eli realized that Samuel was hearing the voice of the Lord calling to him. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls to you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. You know, it's a beautiful story that many of us have learnt as children. And it's an important story. You know, Samuel would later become a judge of Israel and one of the most important prophets. In fact, he was the last of Israel's judges and the first of the prophets. And remember, it was Samuel who anointed both King Saul and King David to be kings. You know, he had an important role to play in the Old Testament. And he played that role thanks to his mother's promise and his own openness to God's word, the voice of God. And of course, we're interested in what this story of Samuel means for our own lives. First of all, it reminds us of the importance of listening. Listening to God and listening to one another. You know, most of us will not be hearing mysterious voices in the night. Well, at least I hope not. I did read recently that according to a recent research, the experience of hearing voices is not all that unusual. Estimates suggest that more than half of the normal population have heard strange voices at some time or another, while about 4% of the population hear voices regularly. Mental health professionals usually define hearing voices as a symptom of medical illness, and I'd suggest that if it happens to you, consult medical profession. However, many people who hear voices are able to live with them and may consider them a positive part of their own lives. You may think that you've never experienced this, but are you sure? Maybe you've experienced the hearing of someone call your name only to find that there's no one there. Indeed, researchers show that, especially for recently bereaved people, it's not uncommon to hear the voice of someone they love after they're deceased. Hearing voices doesn't necessarily mean that you've got problems. It can, but it doesn't necessarily mean it. And it's important to note that when God speaks, it's rarely with an audible voice. You remember the story in 1 Kings about the prophet named Elijah, who was told by the Lord to wait on a mountaintop. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And God sometimes speaks through a gentle whisper. But generally, God speaks in the quietness of our own hearts, through the Holy Spirit, who we now understand as Christians, dwells within us. We invite the Holy Spirit into our life and he dwells within us. The Rabbi Bert Vygotsky says, "You know, I'm actually surprised to be surrounded by people who so readily hear the voices. I'm a praying Jew, so I talk to God all the time, but I don't usually hear answers. It's a much more subtle process with me. God may tell Abraham and Sarah to get up and go and change everything in their lives, but nobody ever says that to me. If I hear God at all, it's somewhere between the lines of a page that I've been studying for hours when I'm reading the Torah. And all I ever hear is, 'Bert, turn the page.'" And that's the way it is for most of us. God most often speaks to us without words. He speaks through our life experiences. He speaks to us in the silence of our own thoughts after a time of laying out our needs and concerns before him. And that's the importance of prayer. We come before God with our needs and our concerns. And God already knows those concerns before we enunciate them. But it's still important that we bring them to him. And then it's important that we pause and wait for time to see if God has something to say to us. Because remember, God has concerns too. They may be concerns about how we're living our lives. It may be about someone in our family who needs our attention. Maybe about something that needs to be done in the church or in the community. So give God a chance to speak to your heart. Take time in your prayer life to listen, and he will speak. You'll hear him, probably not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but in that small voice, that whispering within your soul. And it's also important to take time to listen to one another, particularly in the family. Mark Merrill writes about family relationships, and he's writing about multitasking. And we've all had to adapt to the technology of this world, haven't we? And he says that multitasking can be a good thing, but But when it comes to relationships, maybe not so good. Sitting in their family room, he asked his daughter a question about a friend of hers. And well, without looking up at him, she gave him a one-word answer and started doing something else. He then asked if she was listening to him, and she said, "Yes, I'm just multitasking." Later, he explained to her that he felt unimportant to her when she didn't give him full attention when they were talking. He thought, "I wonder how many times I've done the same thing to her. I wonder how many times I've done that in my life." I think we all know what he's talking about, because we rarely give each other our full attention. There were two men talking over coffee one day, and it wasn't Friday morning down at the... And one said, "I'm concerned about my wife. She talks to herself a lot these days." And the other said, "Mine does too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening." I don't think anyone in this room will be surprised if I say this is the biggest complaint of most women. "He doesn't listen to me." You know, it's important when someone is speaking to us, particularly someone we love, that we look at them and give them our full attention. Within our own culture, it's all right to look one another in the eyes. In other cultures, it's not quite so appropriate. So you've got to be culturally... But you need to be there, present with them. You know, junior tennis players are given a great face, nothing but the ball. And it means eyes need to be fixed on the object that's got to be hit, not just when it's coming at them, but even after it leaves their racket and travels back to the opponent. From beginning to end, focus needs to be singular, focused on the person. You know, we may scare the person if we give them that much attention, but you get that point. The author Bruce Larson once put it like this: "One of the greatest gifts that God can give us in life is a gift of listening. Listening is the key to success and perhaps even survival in most relationships." And there's a whole field of business training out there, firms that teach members of different companies how to listen to one another. And they suggest that the art of listening leads to business success. Now, I don't know whether they can deliver on that, what they promise there, but I'm convinced that every year many businesses fail, not because of their products faulty or their services poor, but because management and workers are not listening to one another. I'm convinced that every year some marriages will fail because two people, even though lovers, don't know how to listen to one another. Even the one who looks so strong and adequate may be trying to communicate, "Help me, I'm frightened, I'm lonely." Every year there are parents and children who begin an irreparable breach because of feelings that can't be put into words. You know, family members speak past each other and the relationship diminishes. There are churches that are split and fracture because members and leaders have failed in that duty to listen. You know, listening may be the most important sign of love. I'll say that again. Listening may be the most important sign of love. You know, Samuel listened to the voice of the Lord and became a great man. You know, we too will become great men and women if we too will listen for the voice of the Lord speaking to us. And it's equally important that we listen to one another, because God can speak through that to us as well. I had a lady that prayed for my ministry while we were in Canberra, Alison. She's since passed away. And we'd go over and sit down with her, and I would say nearly every time we went over there, I knew what she was going to tell me beforehand, because she had been listening to God. And she would say to me, look, this is what I think the Lord's saying to you. That if it fits, okay. If not, let it go. And she would be, God would be using her to put finger on things in my life that I had to deal with. God can speak to us through other people as well. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. May we be open to God speaking to us, and may we be ready to listen to him. In Jesus' name, amen.